Good evening, Truth Seekers. Mike Malloy here on the Nova M Radio Network. Boy, rock and roll. What is it now? Michael Isikoff and Mark Hosenball at Newsweek, at their website, newsweek.com. These two writers are reporting that the CIA repeatedly asked the White House lawyer Harriet Myers. You remember her? Repeatedly asked Harriet Myers over a two-year period for instructions regarding what to do with what they described as very clinical videotapes depicting the use of enhanced interrogation techniques on two top Al-Qaeda captives. That's according to former and current intelligence officials familiar with the communications. And, of course, at this point now, we know the tapes included evidence of torture and other interrogation methods that the Bush crime family has insisted over and over again that we don't do. This is getting more astonishing and more astonishing, isn't it? I don't know, man. Can you imagine if this were Bill Clinton's administration and this were going on? If you get a chance, go to Newsweek.com, and it's titled Paper Trail, Who Authorized the CIA to Destroy Interrogation Videos? I'm sure it was Cheney or you know, somebody, but We really do have a criminal, out-of-control administration running this country. So far, they have not been able to mobilize whatever it is that it would take to really put this country under a state of emergency or suspend the Constitution or military lockdown or martial law. They seem to be, at this point now, the worst sort of incompetence. They have all the desires of the cadre that was around Hitler, but they have all of the incompetence of the people who were around Stalin. And I can think of a no more efficient murder machine than the Nazis, and a no more incompetent bureaucratic machine than the Soviets in the last 75 years. And the Bush crime family seems to have plucked out of both of those regimes the worst, the absolute worst. I think the only, like I say, the only reason, I'm repeating myself, the only reason that there hasn't been some wildly radical move on the part of this crime family is that they don't know how to do it. They don't know how to do it. If this were the Reagan administration with the people who were around him, and I know some of the same people around Reagan, around this jerk, but, you know, we're talking 25 years ago when they still had, you know, the brain synapses mostly were still firing. These guys now, they're not. If this were any other administration, if this were Truman, if this were Kennedy, if this were Nixon, updated Nixon, this country would be under martial law right now. There's no question in my mind. Because what is coming out about these people on a daily basis now is astonishingly broad definitions of political corruption that are, I don't know. It's hard to kind of rock and roll with this stuff. Two wars, almost to start a third one. It's just the torture thing. You know, I'm laughing out of frustration. I'm not laughing because of what these bastards have done or what the intent was and what they've done to our form of government. By the way, today is December 12th, and it was on this day 7 years ago that representative government in this country ended, stopped, like as though it had hit a brick wall at 100 miles an hour. Since December 12th, 2000, we have not lived under a form of representative a government on a federal level, and God only knows to what degree that's true on a state level. But it is a day that lived and continues to live in infamy without a doubt. December 12th, 2000, that's when the United States Supreme Court ordered the vote counting in Florida to stop at a time when George Bush was 340 votes ahead or something, and to stop counting. Because to continue to count would jeopardize the would have a negative effect on the plaintiff in the case, and the plaintiff was George Bush. Sons of bitches. But I digress. So we are at a stage now in this corrupt administration where I think it's clear to anybody except the most fringe wackos out there on the left and the right that, no, there's not going to be a general roundup of liberals or leftists, or it's just not going to happen. There are not going to be massive numbers of people put into detention centers and so on and so forth. Now, don't send me emails telling me that, you know, it's not over till it's over and that there's still time for these rat bastards to pull this off. If they haven't pulled it off by now, they're not going to pull it off. I do believe that. Like I said, they have all the dreams of the Nazis, but all the dumbass incompetence of the Soviets. And they can't transcend it. They can't get past it. They don't know how to do it. So in the meantime, they commit unconstitutional, unlawful act after unlawful act. Whether it is our case law or established law or constitutional law, international law, it doesn't make any difference. They continue to violate the law, but they continue to be found out. And then they continue to make just the kinds of statements that you would expect. 12-year-olds, no offense to 12-year-olds who may be listening tonight, but the kind of defense a 12-year-old might make when he or she is discovered doing something that mommy and daddy said, if you do that, you're going to lose not only your allowances, but all your privileges, and you'll never drive until you're 25. So don't do that. And, you know, I fully expect this old harridan Barbara Bush to come storming out of a closet someday with her hair wild and her eyes, those great big old thyroid-soaked eyes, just almost popping out of her damn head. You talk about a Popeye-looking old woman. And just, you know, wielding a broom and a dustpan and just shrieking and screaming at George about how, why aren't you more competent? Jesus Christ, you should have this country under martial law by now. This is not the way we raised you. And you can just see George, you know, just diving under the nearest couch. Can't you? I mean, really, I fully expect this to happen. But I digress. So Newsweek magazine now is reporting that the decisions to destroy the videotapes came directly from the White House. Now, who in the White House? You know, this administration is defined by allowing Chuckle Nuts to wander around and play with his electric trains in his Game Boy and have total plausible deniability because he is such an ignorant twit, in addition to being a murderous ignorant twit. So when Isikoff writes that these whistleblowers now, or rats, whatever you want to call them, are blowing the whistle on this filthy crime family, when Isikoff reports that it came from the White House, who do you think he's referring to? A Cheney? You know, I have no idea. Wouldn't it be hellish if we found out that the real devil behind the curtain is Pickles? Is Laura Bush? Wouldn't it be funny if it were Laura Bush? You know, y'all made fun of me because I killed my former boyfriend down in Texas. Y'all made fun of my smoking. Y'all made fun of my twins because they don't look nothing alike. But you know what? I got even with you dirty old bastards. I made Georgie start two wars. And I almost got away with the third one. What do you think of that? Huh? What do you think of that? You think it's fun to make fun of me because I take Valium and Vicodin and OxyContin, any damn thing to get my hands on? Huh? You think that's funny? Here, stick this in your funny and pipe it. What if we found out it's Laura Bush? Oh, my God. So when they say the White House made the decision, Harriet Myers? I've always thought that Harriet Myers is really, that's some shape-shifting form of Laura. Have you ever seen Laura Bush and Harriet Myers together? No, neither have I. And if you look at photographs of them real close, Laura looks like Harriet, or Harriet looks like Laura with a fright mask on. You know that's true. You know that's true. Stick around. I'm Mike Malloy.
Very comfortable in the job because I've got great advice and advisors to whom I get good advice from, great advisors to whom I listen.
Oh, jeez. So anyway, now Newsweek reports, it all came from the White House, the destroy the tapes. These people being the Bush crime family have crossed so many lines, broken so many laws, it's almost impossible to keep track. But you know who is keeping track? Our friends over at ImpeachBushCards.com. They're advertising on the network now. And I first got to know these folks way back. Kathy, was it back in the Air America days or was it IE America days? It was a long time ago. And I really like what they do. It's very creative. And they're advertising on the network now. And to go to their website and to buy some of these cards. So to kind of stimulate it, what we're going to do, I think Friday, we haven't come up with a contest yet, but we are going to give away four sets of three decks. Something like that. You know, and we'll have like four winners, and each winner will get three decks of these cards, one to keep, one to give to your favorite progressive friend, and one to give to your minister or your favorite conservative friend, if you still have any. So we'll think of something. We'll come up with the. They sent us a bunch of them here, which I thought was very generous from the folks who distribute them, who make these things. And we really looked through them the other day. This little deck, I think it says in the commercial, someday there'll be collector's items. There is no doubt in my mind that I don't know what they're charging. I haven't been to the website yet. It can't be that much. But if you haven't bought one of these, or five of these, or ten of these, do it. I mean, these things are great. We're going to give away probably 12 decks on Friday night. We'll figure out what kind of a contest is going to be. We'll figure it out by maybe by the end of tonight's program, and we'll let you know. Impeach Bush Cards.com. Check them out. 54 reasons to impeach George W. Bush. Oh, God. Anyway. All right, going from the fun to the macabre, this story is from Canada, from a suburb of Toronto, and it broke the other day. The 16-year-old girl who was murdered, police say, and the father admits it, murdered by her father, who is a devout Muslim. He killed her. He told. Friends and classmates told local media in Toronto that she was killed for not wearing her hijab, the hair covering that Muslim girls from conservative families, and most Muslim families, are supposed to wear, the hair covering that is part of their costume. I don't know if that pleases Muhammad. I don't know where in the Quran it talks about it. I have no idea. Police said in a statement they received an emergency call at about 8 o'clock in the morning, Monday from a man who indicated he had just killed his daughter. The victim, 16-year-old girl named Aksa Parvez, was rushed to a hospital with life-threatening injuries and then died later that day. Her father, Muhammad Parvez, who is 57, was arrested at the scene and was charged with murder, I believe, today when he appeared in court. And the girl's friends, meanwhile, told local media she was having trouble at home because she did not conform to the family's religious beliefs and refused to wear the traditional Islamic headscarf. Her friends said she wanted to go different ways from than her family wanted her to go, and she wanted to make her own path, but the father wouldn't let her. And it goes on. This young woman's 26-year-old brother also was charged with obstructing police in the investigation. You know, another reason, you read about these kinds of religious murders of girls and women all over the Middle East, all over the Far East. They occur not just in countries that are Muslim. Obviously, Canada is not a Muslim country. India is not a Muslim country, although there's a big Indian population. But the treatment of women, the case in Saudi Arabia, the English school teacher in Sudan. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. These, you know, as far as I'm concerned, really and truly, this Muslim faith is really got some screwballs operating within that faith. They claim Islam. And again, I realize that the Jewish Bible, if that's not an improper term, or as the Christians would call it, the Old Testament, lays out the same kinds of rules almost that the Quran does, where it concerns murdering your own children if they disobey, and you know, just on and on and on. The Christians claim the Old Testament as their own. But they say, well, when Jesus came, everybody was redeemed. And yet, the Christian fundamentalists seem to want to believe, you know, the same thing. You know, if your kid gets out of line, or if there's, you know, just burn them, cut their throats, set their hair on fire, rip their legs apart, tie them to four horses and make the horses stampede. You know, one of many reasons why religion just turns my stomach. Ring them bells so the world will know that God is the one. For the shepherd is asleep where the willows weep, and the mountains are filled with lost sheep. Ring them bells.
Turn your heart and your life over to Christ. When you accept Christ as a Savior, it changes your heart and changes your life.
Yeah, I hear you. Okay, now, the murder of the 16-year-old girl because she just, you know, she doesn't live in some... some Muslim slum in Saudi Arabia any longer. She lived in a suburb of Toronto, and so her father did what was expected of him. He murdered her. Murdered his own. How do you kill your own child? I guess because he feared that the prophet or God himself would take him, the father, and rip him into a million pieces and make spiders and scorpions eat him all through eternity if he didn't do as his religion taught him, and that is to kill his own 16-year-old. What does the mother think? And not just in this family in Toronto, but in any family where the daughter is brutalized or butchered, cut into pieces, murdered, slaughtered by the father and a couple of uncles and a couple of sons. I mean, Judaism is restrictive to women. Christianity, to a certain degree, certainly not as much as it wants to be. A real Christianity wants to be utterly disparaging of women, really put them in their place. But Islam, Oh, God, what a creeped out religion. I swear it is. And now Huckabee today, going to his insane Christianity. And the more I hear about Huckabee from people in Arkansas, and from now that he has become a front runner in some of these primaries or some of these caucuses, all of a sudden the media is starting to take a look at his record, and it's pretty disgusting. This guy is a real cheeseburger. I mean, he is an absolute two-bit punk-ass con artist who likes to steal dimes and quarters out of the collection plate. You know, he's not the type who would arm himself and walk into Fort Knox and demand all the gold and, you know, and make a great getaway. No. He's a little cheesy, you know, steal a couple of bucks. If he were Catholic, he'd be stealing out of the poor box, I'm sure. This guy really gives me the willies now, Huckabee. It just really, and I just wonder if the people in Iowa who have put him, I think he's leading the this pack of psychos that are the Republican contenders. I think he's leading now in Iowa. And maybe the voters in Iowa just realize what they have to choose from. But what a cheese ball this guy is. Oh, just, ooh. He may say, I'll bet when he takes his socks off, he's got four-day-old toe jam between his toes. You know, he's that type. Huh? So anyway, there's an article coming out in New York Times magazine, Sunday magazine, and about Huckabee. And in the article, he makes a comment that appears to disparage the Mormon faith. You know, I don't know. When I see something described as the blank faith, I just kind of, you know, get that little vomit comes up in the back of my throat. How does Stephanie say that? I just threw up a little bit in my mouth. It's not, you know, Mormon faith. Well, I guess you got to have a lot of faith to believe any of this stuff. But anyway, Huckabee says he's now apologized to Mitt. What's Mitt's real first name? Willard? I think it's Willard. Wilbur? Willard? No, I think it's Willard. Is it Wilbur? It doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. Mike has apologized to Wilbur Willard after the GOP debate today in Johnson, Iowa, which I understand was just a real worm wrestle. It was just unbelievable. Huckabee said, quote, I said I would never try to somehow pick out some point of your faith and make it an issue, and I wouldn't, end quote. Now, this is after he did exactly that, see? Huckabee said, quote, I've stayed away from talking about Mitt Romney's faith. No, you haven't, you lying little rat bastard. Doesn't it say in your Ten Commandments not to lie? He goes on to say, I told him face to face, I said, I don't think your being a Mormon ought to make you more or less qualified for being a president, end quote. Ooh, well, gee, Huck, you're just lying all over yourself, aren't you? Now, in the article, a preview of which is posted at the New York Times website, Huckabee is quoted as asking the interviewer, don't Mormons believe that Jesus and the devil are brothers? Now, the way, if you're a smarmy, sneaky little thug like a lot of religious people, especially somebody apparently like Huckabee, you make that kind of borderline blasphemous statement into a question. If Huckabee really wanted to stomp all over Mormonism in a more direct, manly way, he would have said, you know, I've heard that Jesus and the devil in the Mormon faith are brothers. You know, that's what I've heard. But he doesn't do it that way, see. He does it the other way. Don't Mormons be, you know, that kind of sneaky, snarky way. Now, the remark came because the New York Times reporter asked Huckabee whether he thought Mormonism was a religion or a cult. What a question, huh? Well, we all know the answer to all of this. You know, what is Christianity? It's a blood cult where certain aspects of it sit around and practice cannibalism and drink blood. I mean, is that not a cult? Woo! Anyway, a spokesman for Romney says that Romney has accepted Huckabee's apology. And on CNN today, Huckabee was just all outside of himself that the comment has caused such an uproar. Here's what he said, quote, we were having a conversation over several hours. He's referring to the interviewer and himself. We were having a conversation over several hours. The conversation was about religion, and the interviewer, was trying to press me on my thoughts of Mitt Romney's religion. And I said, I don't want to go there. I really didn't know anything about him. Well, the interviewer was telling me things about the Mormon faith because he, frankly, is well-schooled on comparative religions. As a part of that conversation, I asked the question, don't Mormons believe that Jesus and the devil are brothers? Because I had heard that. And I asked it not to create something. I never thought it would make the story. Oh, Mitt. I mean, Mike. Can't keep these religious freaks straight. Oh, Mike. You just bought yourself an extra six eons in purgatory. You realize that? Oh, that's right. You don't believe in purgatory. You're a Baptist. Now, Huckabee's campaign says the article that's going to come out in New York Times, Sunday Magazine, takes the candidate's comments out of context. They always say that, right? Well, it's out of context. What's the context when you ask somebody, isn't Jesus and the devil brothers? What is the context for that question? Well, what kind of context was it taken out of? Pardon the dangling participle there. Huckabee was not bashing the religion, according to his campaign, but instead was, quote, illustrating his unwillingness to answer questions about Mormonism and to avoid addressing theological questions during the campaign, end quote. Now, that's what they put up on their website, Huckabee's website, last night. So you see, Huckabee would make a great Republican president. He's a lying, sneaky son of a bitch to begin with. He is more than willing to cut someone else's throat if it means he can stand up on the decapitated head and get himself 6 inches above the rest of the crowd. He's just a slimy, evil, typical Republican. But the fact that he's a Baptist minister adds a lot of spice to it, because Huckabee, you see, can bounce all over the body of Christ when he makes these kinds of comments and get away with it. Who's going to call him on it? Christian fundamentalists? Where's anybody on this? Who's making a stink about this? Mitt Romney, because his cult was insulted. But what? Where's a preacher someplace? Where's the Southern Baptist Convention president? You know, where are these people? You know, they're sitting back, chortling into their sacramental wine, just going, ha ha ha, go get him, Mike! People make me sick. A senior advisor to Huckabee's campaign said in the statement, Governor Huckabee has said consistently that he believes this campaign should center on a discussion on the important issues confronting our nation and not focus on questions of religious belief. Really? Don't Mormons believe that Jesus and the devil are brothers? Wow, way to go, Mike. And then, of course, he immediately puts the other jerk on the defensive. I mean, how do you answer that? No, they're not brothers. Cousins, maybe, but, you know, not brothers. You know, they're talking about non-existent invisible spooks or cloud beings or something. Aren't they brothers? Well, no. Well, what are they? And Ron in Briarwood, New York, sent me an email about that. It says, Mike, Huckabee's comment about Mormons believing that Jesus and the devil were brothers got me thinking about the possibility of other mythological characters who might be related. How about Moses and Santa Claus being second cousins? Think about it. Both bring gifts. Santa brings toys. Moses brings stone tablets. Both keep lists. Santa's list of who is naughty or nice. Moses' list of the Ten Commandments about being naughty or nice. And then you have that long white beard on both of them. Ron in Briarwood.
I will deliver. You know I'm a forgiver. Reach out and touch faith. Reach out and touch faith. Your own personal Jesus. Someone to hear your prayers. Someone who cares. Your own personal Jesus. Thank you.
That's a game that I hate to lose.
End Your Day Screaming with Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio.
Oh, give me the beat, boys, and free my soul. I want to get lost in your rock and roll and drift away.
10 before the hour. These are great cards. These impeachbushcards.com, if you want to look at them. We're going to give some away Friday night. I don't know, 12 decks? We'll give like 3 decks to each one of 4 different people, and I'm not sure how we're going to decide this. We'll come up with some kind of a cheesy little contest. It's 9 before the hour. Dennis Kucinich has been eliminated by the Des Moines Register from their debate tomorrow in that city, Des Moines, Iowa. Come on, Malloy. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Wake up. That's what it says here. The campaign, Kucinich's campaign, today issued a lengthy protest against his exclusion, and that's the last one before the caucuses that occur in less than a month, January 3rd. The newspaper standards for participation in this debate include at least 1% of its statewide poll and an office and paid staff in Iowa. Alan Keyes, oh my God, is he still, there's another pop-eyed, thyroided out freak. Alan Keyes, it says here, has not been in any debates this year and has done little of any campaigning, made the cut for today's Republican debate. Keyes was out there today. Oh, my God. Oh, Alan, go back and go get a job as a commodities salesperson. I don't know. Anyway, Kucinich's campaign said he has been excluded because, quote, his Iowa field director operates from a home office rather than a rented storefront. The campaign quoted newspaper editor Carolyn Washburn as saying, quote, it was our determination that a person working out of his home did not meet our criteria for a campaign office and a paid staff in Iowa. So that's the reason they're keeping Kucinich out? Holy God. See, but you understand this, Truth Seeker. You see how this works. Of course, you see how this works. Now, in solidarity with their Democratic... brother, why don't the other candidates or hopeful candidates on the Democratic side just pull out of the debate altogether? Why don't show a little solidarity, folks? Come on. You're all Democrats, right? I mean, that's what Republicans do. When the Republicans were invited to speak at an historically black college, they all said, no, don't think so. We don't like Negroes anyway. And none of them broke ranks. Now, if the Republican candidates can, as a group, refuse to sully themselves by showing up at a, you know, colored college. Oh, God. Or was it a university? I think it's a university. Oh, there's no difference. You know, college. You know. If the Republican candidates can work together, just like a mass of maggots eating on something dead, and not show up because, well, you know, after all, they're just colored folks, and how many of them are going to vote? then why can't the Democrats do that when one of their own is excluded from a presidential debate because that candidate's Iowa field manager operates out of his home? Jesus, Kathy, I don't think I can take this too much any longer. I really don't. It's bizarre world. What else am I trained to do? You know, I'm going to do like Chris. I'm going to go get a job. I'm going to go back to school and get a nursing degree. I think that's what I'll do. Jane writes, Mike, I'm not an expert on Islam, but if I'm not mistaken, Muhammad's first wife was older and had the money. He loved and respected her so much, he took no other wives until after she died. I think then he took 7. And I believe Islam teaches that women are to be revered and respected. For most of history, Muslim women were educated, held high-level jobs, and had a respected and important position in their societies. All the wacky stuff, I believe, is from fundamentalists like Wahhabists, just like wacky stuff from Christians is from fundamentalists. Yeah, I guess so. But again, my anti-religious bias shows through in any of these discussions. I think they're all just nuttier than fruitcakes. And this is from John in Manhattan, Kansas. Oh, my. As you know, the midsection of the country has just been brutalized by these ice storms. Meanwhile, here in Atlanta, we've had 4 days in a row now of record heat. John in Manhattan, Kansas writes, Mike, I've been without electric power for 2 days now. I'm listening to you on generator power. I have a small gas heater and a power inverter connected to my car. And your show and my friends in the Nova M chat room. This power outage reminds me of the people in Iraq who have had their power grid, their homes, and their lives severely messed with or taken away. No matter what's wrong here in Kansas, I know I'm living like a king compared to, oh, I don't know, 4 or 5 billion of my fellow human beings. John, Manhattan, Kansas. P.S. Catcher would be a great nickname for Mitt. Listening on generator power, huh? Well, thanks, John. That's really something, I think. I hope Bart Cop's okay. You saw what's going on out in Oklahoma City. I haven't been to his website yet today. I'll have to check it during this break that's about to happen right now. But if any of you know if Bart Cop is okay and maintaining his site, shoot me an email. And Bart Cop, if you're listening, for God's sake, you know, send an email to your friends. Let us know you're okay. BartCop.com is what I'm talking about. Oh, you know that. All right, some phone calls and a couple other topics here when we come back. There's still Hillary Clinton is accusing Barack Obama of being too far left. Oh, my God. We'll be back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio. Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. My name is Mike Malloy. This is the Nova M Radio Network. Bush did it again. Just so if anyone has any doubts, he really does hate living children. He vetoed legislation today that the second time that the Democratic Congress has tried to get this through. And Republicans back this, too. Republicans back it because it's politically advantageous for them to back it, not because they believe that living, breathing toddlers are worth a tinker's dam. The only children that Republicans, members of Congress, care about are the kind that are still microscopic. Beyond that, nah, I don't think so. But it's politically advantageous. So some Republicans have jumped on the Democrats' bandwagon about expanding the SCHIP program, State Children's Health Insurance Program. Anyway, Bush gave him the middle finger again, told all the little kids, screw you, especially you children with cancer, you children with childhood leukemia, you children with tumors on your livers, and you children with chronic diseases, Crohn's disease, whatever. If your mommy and daddy can't afford health insurance for you or they've been canceled, well, I guess you're just going to have to crap and crap and crap blood out of your colon until you die, because I am going to veto, because I am a responsible Republican who believes in fiscal responsibility. That's where my responsibility goes, is the responsibility that I put on responsibility-ness. So I'm vetoing the bill again. And once again, he vetoed it in private. You know, he likes to have those big flourishes where he pulls a pen out of his sphincter muscle and signs something and hands it around to all the brain-dead Republicans who are standing around. But whenever he goes after children, signs legislation that literally condemns American children to death, he does it in private. That's what his mother taught him. That's what the crazed Barbara Bush, the pop-eyed, thyroided out Barbara Bush, taught him. Anytime you do something to kids, do it in private. That's what he did to your sister. In a statement notifying Congress of his decision, Bush said the bill was unacceptable because, just like the first one you rotten Democrats sent me, it allows adults into the program. Really? Let's see, what kind of an adult? An adult that is severely mentally retarded, happens to be maybe 24, 25 years old, and has all sorts of genetic chromosomal breakage and you know, has the mind of an 8-month-old. Yeah, that's an adult, George. It sure is. Also, it would cover people and families with income above the U.S. median, and it raises taxes. Oh, Christ. Yeah, you know, we can afford $2 billion a week. Is that what it is, or is it closer to three? To murder Iraqi people, murder Iraqi children, and continue to establish ourselves in that oil-soaked, sad little country. But where it concerns, you know, 150 million or 200 million, which is what, a couple of days' worth of death and destruction in Iraq, not to mention the corruption that goes with that from Halliburton and KBR and Blackwater and DynCorp and all these disaster capitalist pig organizations, they have to get their money. As far as American children are concerned, screw them. Screw them. But little Billy has leukemia? Aw, that's a shame. He needs what? A bone marrow transplant? Really? Aw, can't get insurance. Well, what can I say? You know, his parents can have another kid when little Billy dies, right? Huh? Hey, there's some snowflakes available. You know, little frozen embryos? You want them? Son of a bitch. I can't take that kind of attitude from this killer, this miserable killer. And then the House voted late today, 211 to 180, to put off until January 23rd a vote to see if they can override this thug's veto. Nancy Pelosi said, "We're not going to let this veto stand." Okay, Nancy, sure. Sure. The bill would have increased the funding for SCHIP, in case you've forgotten, by $7 billion a year. That's 2 weeks and 4 days worth of Iraq. $7 billion a year over 5 years. That would have added an estimated 4 million people to the program, 99.8% of whom are children. This is for children in families that earn too much money to qualify for Medicaid but can't afford private insurance. And it's not free. The people in most states who get SCHIP have to pay a premium. They have to buy it. They have to sign up for it. They have to go through everything that Kathy and I go through with this miserable, crappy-ass insurance policy we have through AFTRA. But it's the same. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. Bush wants to make sure that at least 50 million people nationwide are without health insurance when he leaves office. It's incredible. You can tell. You can tell the level of morality or ethical behavior of a government, can't you, when you look at what their spending priorities are, right? I mean, that's a very simple proposition, isn't it? This is the death administration. Well, for that matter, most administrations have been death administrations since God knows how long. But this one particularly, this one loves murder. This one loves dying and blood, and especially dead children, blown up families. It's It's disgusting. So anyway, that's Bush's Christmas present to families who were desperately, desperately holding on. Maybe this time Bush will sign it. Maybe this time his belief in the baby Jesus H. Christ will come through. Maybe this time all that he learned as a child and a young man in his acceptance of Jesus, maybe this time all the stuff that he learned when he stopped drinking and using drugs at age 40, when Billy Graham said, you know, the baby Jesus wants to take you and give you a big old kiss. Maybe this time, the parents were thinking, all that Jesus stuff will work through his addled little burned out, coked out brain, and he will sign legislation that will cost as much as 2 weeks of war a year so that my child, so that my 7-year-old, whom I love very much, can get treatment for her leukemia or whatever the disease is, neuroblastoma. My pediatrician just sent my baby to a clinic for an x-ray, and she has a neuroblastoma. She has it's a huge tumor on her spine or brain, wherever those things, and we need surgery, but we can't, and my little girl's only 7 years old. My little boy is only 10. Please, George, please, please, just this one time, pretend like you're a human being and sign the SG. Please, George, please. And George looks at him with that stinking, filthy Republican smile and gives him the finger. Hey, your kid dies, we got snowflakes over here. We got frozen embryos. They're going to kill them using for stem cell research. No. Come get one of these. Come get one of these, huh? Pig. My God. It's too much. What kind of a country do we live in? Seriously. Oh, Mike's going all negative on us tonight. What kind of a country do we live in? Where, it's bad enough that we have 45 million people with no health insurance. Jesus Christ! How do you do that? How do you say to a sixth of your population, I'm sorry, you can't have it. You can't have any. No. You can't have any. Only people who are in the upper reaches of the middle class on up, or people who are willing to forego everything except their insurance premium can have it. You can't have it. You only make $40,000 a year and you have 3 kids. That's very irresponsible behavior. You can't have health insurance for your children. Or yourself, for that matter, because if you try to get it on the open market, you can never afford it, so screw you, go die. And as far as your children are concerned, tough break. Sorry, Sparky, that's the way it goes.
In God and corporations, they stand for piety that doesn't suffer rivals. They're waving flags and guns and quoting from the Bible. I hate Republicans.
Go gently into that good night. Rage, rage against the flying monkey right with Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour, and there's this, there's a study scheduled to be released next week from the Government Accountability Office that says the Bush crime family, the White House, see, it's that... It's that term again, the White House, as if a huge pile of wood and bricks and mortar is talking to somebody, you know. Oh, the White House saying that? Yeah. What's it saying? Damn, I don't speak house. What is that? Well, that's the White House speaking. Christ. The White House pressured the Environmental Protection Agency to weaken requirements that companies annually disclose releases of toxic chemicals. That's according to the GAO. Now, what does that mean? Well, here's what it means. Because of pressure from the White House Office of Management and Budget, the EPA has decided that industry, all industry, you pick one, will no longer have to file reports, 22,000 reports each year. That reduces an important public monitoring tool on industrial emissions. The skinny on this is, for more than 20 years, industries and businesses have had to disclose to the EPA the amount of toxic chemicals that they produce, store, and ultimately discharge into the air or the water or the ground or all three. In other words, industry has to let the government know so the government can decide how close to this factory or that plant you can live and for how long before you develop huge sucking cancers on your liver. You know, fair is fair, though. And industry said that continuing to issue these reports would cost them $6 million annually. That's for everybody across the United States. If they have to continue putting out these goddamn reports, it's going to cost them $6 million. So they decided to do what you do in a corporatist fascist state like this one. They got together with Cheney and decided that the EPA is going to change the rules. So for more than two decades now, all these industries and businesses have had to let the EPA know how much crap and poison and toxic materials they were dumping into the ground, the air, and the water for your kids to drink and my children to play in and for you to suck in through your lungs. But no longer, no longer. Various communities and watchdog groups and local neighborhoods, even the IRS, have used that information, you see. But last December, a year ago, the EPA reduced the amount of information that needs to be disclosed in what's called the Toxic Release Inventory Report, or the TRI. Senator Barbara Boxer, chairman of the Environment and Public Works Committee, said the report confirms the serious flaws in the reporting requirement. She said, the public has a right to know about toxic pollution in local communities. Okay, Barbara, that's a nice, waffly-ass statement. What are you going to do about it? Come on, Senator Boxer, what are you going to do about it? Your husband works in an industry, is a lobbyist for an industry or works in or something that is the single largest polluting industry after the nuclear industry in the history of the human race. What are you going to do, Barbara? Anything? Or no, I'm thinking of Dianne Feinstein. Never mind. Sorry, Barbara. What does Barbara's husband do? Senator Frank Lautenberg, Democrat of New Jersey, said the report, which he and Boxer had requested, makes clear the Bush administration is letting facilities hide critical data about toxic chemicals. No. Are they doing that? The General Accounting Office determined that the change that came as a result of a decision made by the White House. What is that noise? That's the White House talking. Oh. The change made by the White House would allow more than 3,500 different companies and industries to no longer disclose detailed information about what they're dumping into the ground. 22,000 fewer of these reports will now be available to the public. What? Oh, that's what your buddies insisted on. It's not difficult to speak House. You just have to listen very closely. So, you know, this is the kind of stuff. Vetoes the Children's Health Insurance Plan and then puts pressure on the EPA to allow industries to make the children sicker. You see how that works? It's I don't know, what do you call that? Other than putrid, filthy insanity. What do you call it? America hating. That's one thing you could call it. Corporatism, capitalism, fascism, pick a name. The program, by the way, of releasing these reports came about in 1986. And that was because 2 years earlier, an American company had released a deadly cloud of chemical gas in Bhopal, India, and it killed thousands of people. It's still killing people 22 years later. It was absolute hell on earth. And as a result of that, they passed a law to try to protect Americans from that sort of thing. But guess what?
You got me crawling up to you.
Active interest in people reading documents. You're not being denied information you shouldn't see.
It's about 26 before the hour. Just stay with me. I'm coming to your calls in a second. I just regarding the S-chip. Here's an email from Bridget. Hi, Mike. I agree completely with your assessment of the horror that this heartless, thoughtless, sociopathic liar-in-chief brings us to when he does something like vetoing health care for children. But I feel an even greater horror. I expect George Bush to veto anything that might give something positive or hopeful to ordinary human beings. Any moron would know that George Bush would veto this legislation. So why do the Democrats think that passing legislation that helps people is a good use of their time? There is no way that anything that gets passed that helps children, people, the environment, anything that is positive and saves lives has a chance of becoming law with these criminals in power. I am completely unmoved by the Democrats managing to get S-chip legislation passed in the Congress, since it's tilting at windmills. The only thing that will make a difference is impeachment, and that's off the table. So, don't talk to me, Ms. Pelosi, about how shameful it is that George Bush vetoes this legislation. If you walk up to a rattlesnake and expect it to do anything other than bite you, you are the fool. Yeah, I know. I still, there's some part of me, though, that still feels outrage because I still think that the Democrats are trying to do the right thing. And then I get a story like this from CNN. This is at their website. Democratic lawmakers and staffers privately say they're closing in on a broad budget deal that will give Bush as much as $70 billion in new war funding. Democrats. The deal would lack a key provision that Democrats had attached to previous funding bills calling for most U.S. troops to come home from Iraq by the end of 2008. And by getting that out, you see, this is a significant victory for George W. Bush. Ed Henry, who wrote this for CNN, goes on, Democrats admit such a move would be highly controversial within their own party, coming just weeks after House Speaker Nancy Pelosi vowed that the White House would not get another dollar in war money this year. Not going to get any more. The fact that the Democrats are going to give them another $70 billion would, in Ed Henry's words, further antagonize the liberal base of the party, which has become frustrated with the congressional leadership's failure to push back on Bush's Iraq policy. One senior Democratic aide who requested anonymity to candidly discuss budget negotiations that have not been completed said, "The base will not be happy." The Democratic aide acknowledged that the president is likely to get this new money for his wars in Iraq and Afghanistan before Congress adjourns for the year. The aide said, "Yes, in the end, that's where we will be." And a senior Republican aide said both sides are nearing a deal that will give Bush a large chunk of the $200 billion in war funding he requested earlier this year. The Republicans said, "We're not there yet, but we're close. We're close." Privately, Democrats say they have little choice but to give the president war funding because those Senate Republicans have vowed to block any final budget deal unless it has at least some of the war funding in it. We'll block it. Oh, Christ. White House Press Secretary Too Much Cappuccino Perino said today, "We're calling on Congress to fully fund the troops. The troops need the money." Secretary Gates had been very clear since November 14th. He has said there might have to be furloughs notices go out if we don't get the money. We need the money. We need the money. We need the money. Democrats are still trying to sell the $70 billion in new war funding as a partial victory for them. They point out that while the final numbers are still in flux, Bush is going to get less money than he really wanted. One senior Democratic lawmaker said, "What is for sure is he will not get all $200 billion." Oh, what does that mean, jackass? That he won't get it by the time you guys go home for Christmas? You'll give it to him in January? And then the senior Democratic lawmaker says, "Whatever number it turns out to be, it's much less than what the president asked for. For the first time in this war, he's received less than his request. Nyah, 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 nyah. Neener, neener, neener. So there." However, Bush senior administration officials privately say that they know goddamn good and well that they're going to get the rest of the $200 billion past request passed through Congress next year. We know it's coming. We, you know, let these little pissy Democrats have their game. Senior official in the Bush crime family said flatly, "They've not been able to change the president's policy." Screw them. Democrats. Oh, God, I'm so close. Aren't you? Aren't you so close to it? Aren't you so close to it? Huh? What keeps you in the struggle? What keeps you paying attention to this? Huh? I don't know what keeps me paying attention or faith in the Democratic Party leadership. Not that I have any. But, you know, that hope, like, oh, no. Well, eventually they've got to come out of the ether. They really do. Today's the day. They'll come out of the ether today, right? No, we're going to go ahead and give Bush another $70 billion for murder and death and destruction. Well, okay, but you're going to override the S-chip veto, right? Nah, we're going to go home for Christmas, and maybe sometime the end of January we might try it again. But, you know, the Republicans will just stop us, so there's nothing we can do. The only reason we keep writing the legislation and jamming it through and handing it off to Bush is so, you know, when we're up for re-election next November, we can say, "Well, we tried to get the S-chip through. We tried. We tried to stop Mukasey from being the Attorney General. We tried to stop Alito from going to the Supreme Court. We tried. We tried." I have never seen a more miserable pack of legislators than what now constitutes the Democratic Party. They make me ashamed. They make me ashamed to be an American. They make me ashamed. Oh, just absolutely out of my mind with shame to be a Democrat. I wish there was someplace else I could go where there might be a chance to change the direction. Well, change the direction of this country is going in. What, Democratic Party? Oh, and by the way, did you hear Hillary Clinton is now the defense industry's favorite girl? That's right. Clinton is accusing Barack Obama of being too far to the left. And as a reward for that, the weapons industry is dumping the Republicans and going for Hillary. Huh? How about that? According to the Independent of the UK, the U.S. arms industry is backing Hillary Clinton for president and has all but abandoned its traditional allies in the Republican Party. Mrs. Clinton has also emerged as Wall Street's favorite. Investment bankers have opened their wallets in unprecedented numbers for the New York senator over the past 3 months. Aha! Ms. Clinton's wooing of the defense industry is all the more remarkable given the frosty relations between Bill and the military during his presidency. Ah!
Employees of the top five U.S. arms manufacturers, Lockheed Martin, Boeing, Northrop Grumman, General Dynamics, and Raytheon, are giving more money to the Democrats than the Republicans. The contributions, said Thomas Edsel, an academic at Columbia University in New York, the contributions clearly suggest the arms industry has reached the conclusion that Democratic prospects for 2008 are very good indeed.
So far, Mrs. Clinton has received $52,600 in contributions from individual arms industry employees. That is more than half the sum given to all Democrats, and 60% of the total going to all Republican candidates. Mrs. Clinton's closest competitor in raising cash from the death industry is Mitt Romney, who raised just $32,000. Oh my God. Let's all meet someplace deep in a fairy woodland somewhere and build a big bonfire and have nice big old overcoats on, and we don't have to worry about ice storms taking out the power or heat waves, making the oceans boil. Let's just meet someplace. Let's all get together. You know, let's bring our kids and our house pets and our nieces and nephews, and I don't know, we can roast marshmallows, sit around and just everybody get cozy, drink hot chocolate. Kathy, you make the hot chocolate, right? Will you make it? All right, Kathy will make the hot chocolate. And we just hang out with our kids. We'll listen to the owls up in the trees. And then when it's time to go sleep, everybody throw out some sleeping bags and cuddle up around the campfire. And I know, we'll tell all the little kids stories. We'll make up stories. You stand up straight, but now you got to crawl.
It's like earning capital. I earned capital in the campaign, political capital, and now I intend to spend it. It is my style. That's what happened in after the 2000 election. I earned some capital. I've earned capital in this election, and I'm going to spend it.
You earned a prison sentence, you piece of human waste. Yeah, all right. I let another 45 minutes go by. All right, after the next break, nothing but your phone calls, I promise. So if you've been very patiently holding on, we'll take your call momentarily. There's a report here that Lou Dobbs' head exploded last night. I don't know if it's true or not, but here's what it says. The head of longtime CNN anchorman Lou Dobbs exploded last night, 15 minutes into the broadcast of his nightly news program, Lou Dobbs Tonight. Mr. Dobbs' rants about illegal immigration over the past few years have made his head exploding while on television, a distinct possibility, but few viewers were prepared for the shocking spectacle they witnessed Tuesday night. During an interview with CNN's Anderson Cooper, Mr. Dobbs blamed illegal aliens for most of the ills of American society, including crime, leprosy, and confusing signs written in foreign languages. Dobbs said, quote, "Here's the latest outrage, Anderson. If a border fence is built between the U.S. and Mexico, as I've suggested, it'll probably be built by illegal Mexican workers," end quote. Shortly after his statement about illegal Mexican laborers constructing a border fence, Mr. Dobbs' head exploded, filling the screen with smoke and visibly startling Mr. Cooper. After Mr. Dobbs' head burst into flames, his CNN cohort attempted to go to commercials, but Mr. Dobbs continued talking, undaunted, for another 15 minutes. Immediately after the broadcast, Mr. Dobbs was rushed to the head explosion unit at George Washington University Hospital, where the CNN anchor continued talking for an additional 5 hours before finally being administered general anesthesia. Chief of Surgery, Dr. Hiroshi Kiyosuke, said, quote, "In all my years as a brain surgeon, I've never seen someone with such serious head trauma continue speaking. It is almost as if Lou Dobbs' mouth functions completely independently from his brain." End quote. Yeah, Dobbs. Lou Dobbs' head is going to explode. There's going to be teeth, hair, and eyeballs all over the CNN set. It's coming. You know it's coming. Oh, geez, I hope I'm watching that night. Lou Dobbs just turns my stomach. Isn't he the one that had the illegal Mexican immigrants working to clean the horse droppings out of his two daughters' stable? Isn't that Lou Dobbs? And Mitt Romney had the illegal Mexican workers cleaning up the garbage and the leaves and the twigs at his mansion. I'd be willing to bet that the head of these right-wing Klan militia types that patrol our southern borders, why don't you go patrol the northern borders? Stop those goddamn Canadians from coming in here, huh? I'm sure they probably employ illegal Mexican workers to clean their guns, you think? Lou Dobbs is the classic populist slash racist. It's one of the most enduring characters in American history. The populist racist. There he is. I mean, there he is. Kill them all. Kill them all. Lou Dobbs almost got me about 2 years ago when he started talking about this filthy NAFTA and GATT and all these trade agreements signed by Pappy Bush and Clinton and encouraged by George W.'s cohort. And, it turns out he just doesn't like Mexicans. That's all. Jesus, Lou, take a break. You know, have a shot of tequila. Eat a couple of tacos. You know, kick back. Here, say this. Hola. ¿Cómo está? Muy bien, ¿y usted? Just try it, Lou. It's just a nice little language that kind of just rolls off your tongue. Try this one, Lou. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Prospero año y felicidad. Try that. Matter of fact, there's music that goes with that, Lou, you white, fat, racist son of a bitch, you. It goes like this. Feliz Navidad, Feliz Navidad, Feliz Navidad, Prospero año y felicidad. And then you can add the next verse. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. You know, you can do it that way. And that way you can mock our little brown brothers south of the border. Okay, Lou? Just where are we? Where are we? And I'm just going to give you the sentence here. You can find it at truthout.org. It's written by Robert Scheer, the former LA Times superb primo investigative reporter that was fired from the LA Times because he was their superb primo investigative reporter. He now freelances, among other places. He writes for Truth Digest, but you can find this at truthout.org. The title is Waterboarding Our Democracy. First sentence only. When the CIA destroyed those prisoner interrogation videotapes, was it also destroying the truth about 9/11? Whoa. That's Robert Scheer. Isn't he a Pulitzer Prize winner? If not, he should have been over the years of his career at the LA Times. As far as I'm concerned, he's right up there with Frank Rich. He's not as witty as Frank Rich, perhaps, but that's mainly because Scheer, I think, was more of a reporter, whereas Frank Rich was the theater critic until the New York Times realized that Rich is a genius in political commentary. But Frank Rich and Robert Scheer, to me, are without comparison in newspaper journalism, truly. But just that first sentence, you go find it. Go read this. Truthout.org. It will just make your liver quiver. It was put up today, truthout.org. titled Waterboarding Our Democracy. When the CIA destroyed those prisoner interrogation videotapes, was it also destroying the truth about 9/11? Now, that's, I have to admit, that's kind of a journalistic trick, making it a question like that. That's kind of like saying, well, is it true that in the Mormon faith, Jesus and Satan are brothers? This is Nova M. Stick around. Another hour of fun and frivolity coming up on Mike Malloy. Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. This is the Nova M Radio Network. My name is Mike Malloy. You still with me? About this point in the program, a lot of nice people say, Jesus, I can't take any more of this. And they switch over to watch your local news or something. Oh, no, I understand. A couple of quick emails, send to your phone calls. Mike writes in, remember Aaron Brockovich? The case she was involved in was the contamination of drinking water with hexavalent chromium. Is that how you pronounce it? Also known as chromium VI. Or is that chromium Roman numeral 6? Oh, God, I don't know. Anyway, it's in this chromium 6. Well, Kathy's talking to me in my headphones. It's in parentheses, and it's VI. That's what it's right out of Wikipedia. Mike sent it. It's chromium 6. Oh, okay. Well, hexavalent. Well, I guess so. The prefix there would indicate 6. Oh, Jesus. The contaminated drinking water in the southern California town of Hinckley. At the center of the case was a facility called the Hinckley Compressor Station, part of a natural gas pipeline connecting to the San Francisco Bay Area and constructed in 1952. The case was settled in 1996 for $333 million, the largest settlement ever paid in a direct action lawsuit in U.S. history. Aaron wouldn't be able to get that information now because no information will be there to disclose. That has to do with what we were talking about the first part of the program about the EPA is saying, no more reports, dump what you want, never mind. And what are the Democrats doing in Congress about this? Nothing. Of course not. All right, from Tim in Indiana, who is a founding member of Nova M, he writes in, Mike, every time I hear a story about the Democratic leadership caving in yet again, it makes me so mad my eye starts to twitch. These friggin' Dems are so scared, like a dog that starts to cringe and pee on itself the second the master reaches for a magazine. Democrats whine and yelp when the Republicans reach for the troops. If the only way to motivate the Democratic leadership is to scare them, then by God, let's start scaring them. Put them in fear of their political lives. I'll stay home before I vote for another blankety-blank DLC scumbag. And my eye and I are going to go do some deep breathing now. Won't help. This is from Aram in Tucson. Aram writes, Mike, my party, he's referring to Democrats, of course, has all the backbone of an amoeba or a jellyfish. Their tacit working, I think you left out a word there. Their tacit working to do anything is disgusting. Oh, well, apparently these idiots believe that if they do just enough nothing, we, the Democrats that elected these pieces of garbage, will be fooled into thinking that just enough nothing is a good enough of nothing. Boy, you people are really in fine form tonight. Rahm Emanuel, Nancy Pelosi, Steny Hoyer, Harry Reid, and these DLC fake Democrats need to be expunged, sadly, because of these people, the Blue Dog Dinos and Jomentum Lieberman, we've lost. They okayed Alito, Mukasey, Roberts, and everyone else Junior wanted. It's over, Michael. I'm 29 years old, and I know this country is down for the 10 count. Aram in Tucson. Oh, man. Is that it? Okay, that's it. I've been teasing you long enough here, so... Oh, wait a minute. Let me just look at this email very quick here. The subject line says Satan and God slash Jesus, and it's from Shell. Shell writes, like you, I was brought up religious, but now am an atheist. I was brought up Presbyterian. But what I remember from mainstream church is that Satan originally lived in heaven and got kicked out. So why is this controversial? Well, I guess it's the sibling thing. Yeah, I think Satan was an angel, according to some of this stuff. Read Letters to the Earth. Read Mark Twain. If you really want, and I've said this probably 10 times in my radio career, I'll say it again tonight. If you really want to read some stuff that will just have you laughing your butt off, whether you're a follower of any form of Christianity or not, whether you're an atheist or not. I don't know if Muslims, Hindus, and Jews would get off on this. Well, I think the Jews would. I know the Christians that have a sense of humor would get off on it. An atheist will think it's received wisdom. But read the writings of Mark Twain, who became very, very, very utterly, incredibly, massively cynical about organized religion towards the end of his life. For a number of reasons, too many and varied to go into in the program here, but he wrote a series of essays, Letters to the Earth, Letters from the Earth, Eve's Diary, Adam's Diary, Methuselah's Diary. It just goes on and on. And if you can get your, I'm sure you can Google it and probably get the whole thing online, but start with the Letters to the Earth. Letters written by angels and saints and God and maybe even Jesus and Satan, because yeah, Satan was an angel at one time according to all the mythology, who just decided, you know, he wanted to be better than God. And the Judeo-Christian God is a real pisser. I mean, he doesn't tolerate, you know, somebody else wants to be God. Oh, I'll cast you into hell. Yeah, but there is no hell. Then I'll make one. I made everything else. I'll make a hell. Didn't you read my first commandment? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Why do you think it's first? You know, that sort of crap. Anyway, go do it. You'll find it very, very, very entertaining. Letters to the Earth. Letters from the Earth. Eve's Diary. Adam's Diary. Oh, and the last thing before I do, my good friend Daryl in Birmingham sent this to me. Mike, would you mention Harry Taylor's December 12th campaign? Harry is the guy who stood up and asked Bush if he had the decency to be ashamed of himself. Remember that guy? Remember that? And it was very reminiscent of the Norman Rockwell painting of one of the Four Freedoms. I forget what the man standing in that crowd in the Rockwell painting, what freedom he represented. But Harry Taylor, who asked Bush at one of these fakey-ass town meetings, this guy happened to get in, if he had the decency to be ashamed of himself. Well, he's running for Congress. And he's got a website, harrytaylorforcongress.com. So... this, to me, now I don't know anything about this guy, but I remember that, and you should remember it too. It wasn't that long ago. When was that, Daryl? A couple of, year and a half, 2 years ago? The guy stood up and asked Bush if he had the decency to be ashamed of himself. HarryTaylorForCongress.com. HarryTaylorForCongress.com. Check it out. He's running for Congress. HarryTaylorForCongress.com. Just check it out, please. And, oh, wait, there's one last... One last. Where is it? This comes all the way from South Africa, and here it is. I think Doug is in South Africa for some reason, but he says, I just started a site to dump the Democratic leadership, and I have added a petition to the site. Can you help? Just a quick mention to maybe get some momentum. He says, we need people with the guts to take on the Unpatriot Act, H.R. 1955, the homegrown terrorism thing, and of course FISA, Iraq, so on and so on and so on. And he is the founder of Internet TV News. That's another good site, internettvnews.com. So go there. But if you want to see this site that Doug has set up and sign the petition, it's dumpthedemocraticleadership.org. That's easy enough to remember. Dumpthedemocraticleadership.org. You got that? Dumpthedemocraticleadership.org. And then when you want some real news, go to internettvnews.com. Dumpthedemocraticleadership.org. There's a petition there. Sign it. Or not, but what the hell? I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M. We'll be right back.
It's okay, Republicans. The pain will be over soon. Take a deep breath. Find your happy place. It's more of Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. Did you write that down? Dumpthedemocraticleadership.org. That's from Doug Lang, the founder of Internet TV News. And that is internettvnews.com. All right, phone calls. Let's see, who's been holding on the longest? William, who's listening in Hollywood, California on the Internet. Hey, William.
Hi, Mike. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you this evening?
I'm all right.
Well, you didn't convince me there.
Well, it's getting more difficult to be convincing when people say, how are you doing today?
Well, that's true.
Yeah. You know, I feel like a liar if I say anything.
I know. Let's just leave it at the cliche. Hey, William, how you doing? Fine, Mike. How are you? Oh, great. Okay.
There you go. Now we're both liars.
Right. Absolutely.
I was kind of a little confused. I was going to talk about the S-chip, and you know, when they put me on hold, I was listening to you talk about how they were polluting the environment and taking away the EPA regulations,
right.
And that's what I was going to bring up. They're poisoning the children, but they're not going to give them health care.
Right.
And I remember...
Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that typically Republican?
It's insanity. And
somebody needs to point out to these Republican animals that... polluting the environment causes the embryos and the fetuses to get all twisted up and maybe miscarry, which medically is called a spontaneous abortion. Maybe if the Republican snakeheads understood that in keeping hidden how much poison is dumped by industries into the environment, they were risking fetuses and embryos, maybe that would wake them up, because snakeheads love, these Republicans love fetuses. They love embryos. As long as they're not walking around or born, they love them, especially when they force the woman's gut to expand way beyond what it normally is, because there's nothing that turns a Republican on more than to see a pregnant woman who is unable to take care of herself, you know, unable to get back to work in the kitchen and do those things that Republicans love to see their pet women do. So let's try to convince these Republicans that toxins in the environment will cause fetuses to get all blurry and nasty. Maybe that'll motivate them, you think, William?
Well, you know, I think as long as you can't, anything can't speak for itself, then it's okay with them. You know?
Uh-huh.
If you can speak for yourself, whether you're a parent or a child to the parent or whatever, that they rule that out. As long as you've got a voice, they don't want to hear it. You know, I remember like 1,000 years ago when I was in grade school, we had to design a city. And the thing that freaked me out the most about it was where to put the garbage. I got rid of the cars, I got rid of everything else, but I could not figure out where to put the garbage. And that's kind of what I, how I vision this whole administration on both sides right now that we have.
Right.
And an odd thing, I never go to fast food places, but the other day there was just nothing, so I stopped at one. Yeah. And I happened to look up above the window, and I saw this sign.
Yeah.
And it said, this area is known to have hazardous chemicals known to the state of California that causes certain kinds of cancer and birth defects.
That was a fast food restaurant?
This is a fast food restaurant.
What are they talking about, the Big Mac?
Oh, I don't know if I should mention the name, but...
Oh, hell yeah, go ahead.
It was Carl's.
Carl's Drive-Ins, or what is it called?
Carl's Jr.
Carl's Jr.?
Yeah.
Well, what are they talking about? The stuff they cook their French fries in, or what?
I don't know. I looked up at that, and I thought... And it was facing out at me at the drive-thru window, but high enough we had to look up to see it. And I've seen these in garages, but yeah. I'm thinking, this is a food store. What is it? Is it because they built this Carl's where the gas station used to be? Is that why that's there? I don't know.
Probably because of what they put in their, quote, milk, unquote, shakes.
Maybe. I didn't buy the milkshakes. I was trying to get something that seemed like it, you know, didn't come from anywhere that I couldn't read the label.
Yeah, and what would that be at a fast food restaurant?
I don't know.
The napkins? No, wait a minute. They come from Slobovia someplace, which is a Chinese province.
They disintegrate with a drop of water. I don't know where those are made.
All right, well, listen, don't be so damn depressed, okay?
I'm trying.
All right, William. Okay. I got to go. We're about to break. Thanks, William. Appreciate you checking in. Take care.
Good talking to you. Bye.
Libertarian Barnaby sent me an email here. The subject line says, Lou Dobbs' wife! In all caps, is Hispanic? Question, exclamation point. No kidding, Barnaby. Wow, you're right on top of things, aren't you? He writes, suggest you do some research before jumping on a pure partisan Democrat rant against Lou Dobbs. Lou Dobbs changed from a Wall Street Republican to an independent and is more for the little guy today. Blah, blah, blah. Well, the reason I don't bring up that Lou Dobbs' wife is Mexican-American and that his in-laws who live with him are, well, Mexicans. The reason, and his daughters then have the blood of Mexico flowing through their veins. The reason I don't mention that, Barnaby, is because apparently I'm not a racist like you are. You know, I don't care who he's married to. Good God, Barnaby! Go get a drink or something! Again and again.
Faster than a flying monkey, more powerful than a special prosecutor, it's Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio.
It's 25 before the hour. Back to your phone calls. Jen is calling from Sacramento, listening on KSAC. Hey, Jen, welcome to the program. Where's Jen? There's Jen. Hi, Jen. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. I was just wondering, first of all, did you get my email about Bush torturing Santa?
Oh, about what?
Bush that the war drums, and he was going after Santa Claus, and he was being sent to Abu Ghraib.
I don't think so. Resend it.
Okay. It's really cute.
Yeah, just resend it, because I'd like to read it.
Okay. And then I wanted to say that, yes, it's true that Bush doesn't care about the children. And it's not that he cares much about the embryos and all that other stuff. He wants to make sure that the stem cell research does not go any further, because then there wouldn't be any childhood disease, and there wouldn't be people sick, and he couldn't have those people as little ha-ha-ha enjoying his little freaky nature that he does. And I think part of it is because, you know, his sister died when he was young or whatever, and I think in his warped sense of he believes if God didn't save his sister, then why should anybody else live? And so, you know, he's really twisted, and I think everybody understands that.
Well, I think it was his mother and his father who twisted little George's mind into a pretzel regarding the death of his sister. It's my understanding from several sources, biographies of this crazy Nazi family, they didn't even have a funeral for his little sister.
And that's what I understand that.
And he wasn't allowed to talk about it. It was just like, you know, one day there's a sister there, next day there's just an indentation on the bed where she used to lie, and nothing. Nobody talked about it. Like, whoof, gone. Where's sis?
Right.
Don't talk about it. Hush up. Shut your mouth. But where's my sis? Shut up. But yeah. Where? Shut.
And see, that's what I think is somehow, sometimes when people go through trauma, I'm not trying to excuse him at all. I cannot stand that man. But I really believe that he's got some multiple personalities, and some of it does stem from whatever happened, and how do we know? Maybe his dad and mom killed her. Who knows? You know, they said she was sick, but we'll never know. We'll never know any of that stuff.
I know.
And then the other thing is, you know, when it comes to the Democrats, I've never believed that there was a difference between the Democratic Party. I think that the repugnants or Republicans, however way you want to call them, and the Democrats, they're both playing good cop, bad cop, and they're just pretending that, you know, yeah, we're for the people, and they go in there and they all exchange the little checks and the little money and whatever, and none of them are for us. They're all in it together. And so I just wanted to, you know, say what I had to say, and I so appreciate what you and Kathy are doing on the air, and I listen to you faithfully every night.
Thanks, Jen. That's very kind. Thanks for checking in. Glad to hear what you had to say. Glad to hear it. Is, you know, regarding the Bush family is almost Shakespearean in its weirdness, more like that terrible Danish play. Is it a Danish play or is it a Scottish play? That terrible. Never mind. I know it. I'm just kidding. One of the aspects of the Bush family that is really strange or bizarre or creepy, depending on your point of view, is the fact that Barbara Bush, the mother to these criminals, every single Bush boy has been a criminal on one level or another, either bank fraud or insurance fraud or global war fraud, whatever. She's like Ma Barker, you know. But the interesting thing about Barbara Bush is the rumor, or fact, take your pick, that her father is Aleister Crowley, the famous British, what would you call him, Kathy? Not a warlock. How would you describe Aleister? He was a, you know, I don't want to offend anyone. A barrister. I don't know what he was. He had a very prominent position. He was a writer. I don't know. But I also know that he was, apparently he was, he was involved in practices. Was he a Satanist? I don't think he was just a gentle Wiccan. I think he was, a real bad person. And, you know, inverted crosses and, all that kind of stuff and cat blood and apparently he had sex with somebody, Barbara Bush's mother, and she was born of that union. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but when you couple that, that's on mom's side. On dad's side, you have the Nazi sympathizer, the Nazi financier, Prescott Bush, And on the mother's side, you have this, whatever the story is, you know it's not normal, whatever it is. And you have to wonder, to what extent was this kind of familial poison pumped into George Bush's genetic or his genome to the point where he's, you know, he doesn't know if he's really here, or if he's at a gas station in Kansas City, or if he's walking down the street in some town in Trinidad. You know, I mean, the guy is really just, no wonder he's a drunk and a druggie and so on and so forth. Oh, Kathy just brought up on my screen here a little bit on Aleister Crowley. Doesn't he look like Barbara Bush? Look at him. Look at his face.
Well, he also looks a lot like Uncle Fester from the Addams Family, and of course she does too, so.
All right, back.
Maybe she's Jackie Coogan's lost cousin.
Back to your phone calls. Douglas is calling from Sacramento, also listening on KSAC. Hey, Douglas.
Hi, good to talk to you again.
My pleasure.
So, are we having fun yet?
Oh, sure.
I hate to think that we were just getting company in our misery out of this.
Oh, no. this is just nothing but hysterical laughter and good times. I'm just all a Twitter from the fun we're having.
Oh, good. Me too. Anyway, another name about the Bush family that we shouldn't forget is Herbert Walker.
Yeah. Now, fill us in again on what he did.
Prescott Bush's business partner and fellow Nazi financier and sympathizer.
Right.
And look how often that name crops up in succeeding generations.
That's true. They're quite the family, aren't they, Douglas?
Oh, yes.
Oh, my God.
Now, what you said earlier about the internment camps not happening because they're incompetent.
Yeah.
I think it's just that they don't need them. Have you ever seen, when you were a kid, an old-fashioned turkey farm? Ranch style, where they have the birds outside behind those little fences?
I think I have. And these are the same creatures that, when it rains, they raise their heads and drown.
I don't know about that, but my point is, they don't, I mean, they have those short fences, or they did then. They've gone beyond that now to keep them all indoors. But basically, they could do that because the birds would interpret a low fence as something that they could just walk around. So they would just mill around in those pens forever. If they had a high fence, they would know they were trapped and they would fly out.
Oh, my God.
And I think that's where we are.
You know,
with
that's
the media the way it is and such, we just don't get to see the fences anymore.
All right, so we're turkeys. Somebody sent me an email tonight reminding me of the Stockholm Syndrome.
Mm-hmm. No, we are not. But we can be treated as turkeys, and we are.
I see. Well, I don't have too much argument with that. You know, I spend a lot of time saying gobble, gobble, gobble.
But remember back when, was it Ahmadinejad or somebody came over, and there was a big thing about how free speech shouldn't be included to him because he's just beyond the pale?
Right, because he wants nuclear weapons. Whoa!
But it's part of the same thing. You see, he's cutting into the government's market share.
Yeah.
If you have a competing voice and people have to choose between them, even if they choose you, they get the habit of choosing.
That's right.
And that's not what an advertiser wants.
No, no.
So Madison Avenue is basically, they hate our freedom.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
Because if you choose, You are not following the ad.
That's right. You're not.
And I don't want to keep you all night, but next time I'll get to the scary stuff.
Okay, thanks, Douglas. You have a good night, Douglas.
You too. Love you.
All right. Always good to hear from you. Where are we? We don't have a break yet. What is this? Donald Rumsfeld needs to wear iced underwear because of some medical condition, and he has his Secret Service detail hold his spares. He was recently getting uncontrolled long-term erections and had to change up his medical treatments. The underwear and the erections is why he always used a standing desk, not because he's some Superman. He also wears nylon stockings. to control some vascular problem with his legs, which causes him intense pain. Really? Reminds me of that. What is that commercial? The Levitra commercial? If you have an erection that lasts longer than 6 weeks, go see somebody.
Oh, so true. 'Cause I saw it on TV. I know it's true. Oh, so true.
Before the hour, a couple emails here very quickly. George in Seattle regarding the final takeover by the neocons and why we're not all in detention centers. George, right, Mike, I appreciate your optimism, but the neocons do know how to do the final takeover. They do know how to pull off another 9/11. However, they're just not so sure that they would get away with it again. And besides, they would have to let some of their operatives out of the black site torture prisons to get the job done, and most of them don't even know who they are anymore. Regarding the resemblance between Aleister Crowley and Barbara Bush, Seth writes, there's also a strong resemblance between Ma Bush and the Quaker Oats guy. Right. Right, there really is. And then the two announcements that I was asked to make tonight, and willingly did it, and we'll do it again. Harry Taylor, he's the guy who stood up at a Bush photo op and asked Bush if he had the decency to be ashamed of himself. He's running for Congress. His website is harrytaylorforcongress.com. Please go there and make a decision about what you're going to do once you get there. Okay, just check him out. HarryTaylorForCongress.com. It's all spelled out, no numerals. HarryTaylorForCongress.com. And the other thing is the Doug Lang, the founder of InternetTVNews.com, has a site up with a petition that you might want to check out. The site is DumpTheDemocraticLeadership.org. Okay, so there's some homework for you. Thanks to the crew tonight. The normal set of people have nothing better to do with their evenings except work on this program. Ian Hoff, who engineered the program and answered your calls in Phoenix. Billy Foster, our technical director. Chris in Minnesota, our senior correspondent. Catherine Bay, our executive producer. And moi, your humble and obedient servant. Oh, did I mention yet? Welcome, Columbus, Ohio, WVKO, 1580 AM. I think I mentioned it a couple of times, so what the hell, let's mention it again. I was at, whose website was I at today? Was I at Randy's website, and they have a big welcome? When the hell are we going to get a website going? What is taking Nova M so long to get us a nice interactive website? My website looked fine 7 years ago when it was first set up. Do you know what the delay is? It'll soon happen?
I believe they're waiting for the webcam rollout.
Oh, good. All right, back to your phone call. Susan is calling from Oakland Park, Florida, listening on WINZ. Hey, Susan.
Hey, Mike. Thanks a lot. I'm going to have a dream tonight that involves the Quaker Oat Man, Barbara Bush, Romney's shorts, icy shorts,
yeah.
And what was, oh, and turkeys.
I know. You're going to have fun.
Oh, unbelievable. I wanted to alert you to a story, and I don't have a computer or email, so I'll tell you over the air.
Okay.
This morning, our local talk show host on WINZ, Nicole Sandler, brought up House Resolution 847EH, which passed yesterday. She read it on the air because it's not that long, and about the fourth or fifth whereas paragraph down, It comes within a Bush's brain-sized distance of declaring the United States a Christian nation.
Yeah.
Only 9 congressmen voted against it.
You're kidding. Now it's a matter of law now?
It's a resolution. It passed the House. I don't know if there's a companion bill in the Senate. I don't know if it has any force of law or whether it's just one of these quote-unquote feel-good resolutions like declaring, Arbor Day or something like that. But it has to do with the defense of Christmas and Christianity. And it passed close to 400 to 9 with 10 people voting present and about 40, I think it was, not voting.
But there's a lot of Jews in the U.S. House, or was it the House?
It was the House.
Well, there's a lot of Jews in the House. Don't tell me that the Jews voted, yeah, it's a Christian nation.
Check it out.
Oh, my God. And what about, don't
it
we
have... It has to do with our Judeo-Christian, the founders having their Judeo-Christian values perpetuated today.
Oh, bat squeeze.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God. Oh,
I also have a suggestion for how to give away the decks of playing cards.
Okay.
I think you should give them to people who suggest ways to give away the playing cards. And I'd like to...
That's a pretty good idea. You've been around the cooking, Sherry, tonight, right?
Oh, it's late.
It is late. No, I like that idea. I like that idea, Susan.
Okay.
All right, Kathy's waving her fist at me, which means we're just about ready to get out of here. Thanks, Susan.
Have a great night.
All right, take care. Take care. A Christian nation. Huh?
No, I only do that when I'm trying to alert the shooter up in the book depository window.
I see. Well, thank God. What is this? What's this story? The Pope is condemning the climate change prophets of doom, as he calls them? What? Oh, we'll have to.
Jesus likes it hot.
We'll have to check this out. Oh, man. Let's have an I give up party. Let's have a to hell with it party, right? Oh, you want to do that?
That woman on The View doesn't even know whether or not the earth is round. I'm still having
That's
a problem
right.
with that.
Is she a piece of work or what? I've never seen, Barbara Walters. I can't believe, Barbara Walters is the executive producer of that show. I can't believe she lets that freak wander around and sit there at the table with the adults. It's incredible. Oh, well. Hey, listen, thanks for hanging out with us tonight. I do appreciate it, all right? We'll see you tomorrow night. Take care. Take care. I'm Mike Malloy. This is the Nova M Radio Network. Keep it lit.